This is KUT. We recently asked you to vote on a bird-related question for the fourth round of our AT Explained project. As KUT's Moz Bouchel reports, the question you chose is about a type of bird that should be familiar to most of our listeners.
Erythicus akahige.
When it comes to birds, some are well-liked.
The Japanese robin.
Some are considered pests.
Ficedula narcissina.
But most?
Narcissus flycatcher.
Kind of slip under the radar.
Quiscalus mexicanus.
Not this one.
The great-tailed grackle. Oh, they're everywhere. Oh, not my car, I just washed it. Oh, those are my fries. Hey, get out of here.
The grackle demands that you take notice.
It's like this big black velvet wave of grackle in the parking lot of the grocery store.
This is Pamela Gooby. Her question was picked for this edition of AT Explained.
And we are at the HEB grocery store on 41st Street near I-35.
Where she sometimes sees those big velvet waves of grackles.
They fly from the trees at night as the sun sets, and they make amazing noises.
Like you heard at the top of the story.
They're like, bawk, 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 bawk.
So here was Pamela's question. If you haven't guessed,
I was wondering why they seem to gather in HEB grocery store parking lots at dusk.
So, time for a lesson in grackles.
Quiscalus mexicanus.
Hello.
But first,
hello.
We need to find a grackle expert.
Okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
You sound great.
Well, thank you. You sound great, too.
I tracked down Walter Wetche, an ornithologist in Fort Collins, Colorado.
And I did my dissertation on the biogeography of the three subspecies of great-tailed grackle.
Wetche spent years tracking grackle populations in Mexico and the western United States.
Working in Mexico is probably the most enjoyable part.
He says, to answer Pamela's question, it helps to understand the history of grackles and humans living together. It goes back a long, long way.
It actually predates the Spanish conquest of Mexico.
Yeah, a long way. Here's the story. In the 1400s, there lived an Aztec emperor named Ahuitzotl, an ancestor of the well-known Aztec emperor.
Montezuma's or Moctezuma, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name.
He conquered lowlands to the east of what is now Mexico City.
On their return, not only did they bring back slaves, but they brought back these large black birds that they were enamored by because they produced these very long black iridescent feathers.
The Aztecs used feathers for clothes and for decorations.
And so they brought back these grackles from the Gulf Coast of Mexico and bred them, and after some time began releasing them and said that they were not to be harmed.
This is probably the first recorded case of humans intentionally relocating wild animals in the New World. 500 years ago, there were already great-tailed grackles living in cities.
And if you go down to present-day Mexico, you'll see the exact same pattern.
If you go into a Mexican town, usually you'll find a central square with some shade trees in it.
And every evening, it seems, the great-tailed grackles go and fly into the trees in the central square and spend the night there.
Sound familiar? So consider the supermarket parking lot. This place has everything you want if you're a grackle looking to bed down. You have space. If you're a grackle, you love to sleep in large groups.
For safety's sake, it is good to be in the company of others.
There are shade trees scattered around an open area. That's key. It lets you see predators approaching.
And the other thing about these scattered trees is that you have a very easy way to get out of that tree and fly out into the open.
And finally, there's usually a jack-in-the-box nearby.
Oh, absolutely. They love French fries.
Grackles have been expanding their range northward. And Wetche says they're following human development. After all, they've been learning to live with us since the time of the Aztecs. So, thanks, Ahuitzotl.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what everybody should do.
When we make parking lots, we're creating the perfect grackle habitat. So the question isn't, why do they come here at night? It's, why would they ever go anywhere else? I brought my findings back to Pamela Gooby.
So I've answered your question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good at least.
Yeah.
But was that really what this story was about? Since I started reporting on grackles, I've been struck by one thing. Everyone seemed to have an opinion. People either hate grackles or they love them. So I had a question for Pamela.
Okay, Pamela, real talk. Do you like grackles?
I haven't liked or disliked them. They're just another animal on the planet. I am grackle neutral.
This was new. Fortunately, I brought some backup to test the limits of her neutrality.
Hi, Pamela, I'm James.
Hi, James, I'm Pamela.
James Brush is a local writer who's a big grackle fan.
James, you've written about grackles.
Yeah, I've written a book about grackles and vultures called Birds Nobody Loves.
He came to read some grackle poems for Pamela. This one was called The Grackle Tree.
After a few days under the grackle tree, the blue sedan began to develop a white pox.
It's about those trees full of grackles you don't want to park your car under. But it's also about a great war that was fought many years ago between man and grackle.
And men with shotguns came and took determined aim into the trees.
Will Pamela stay grackle neutral? Will the grackles be okay? And what's up with this war against grackles?
It was like, if you weren't shooting, you were hearing somebody else shoot. It was a pretty amazing sound.
All this and more coming up. But first, we gotta ask you for some money.